gone so fast it hurt. But turn down the volume on Dick and Bert. Fuck Dick and Bert! Fuck Dick and Bert! St. Paul admitting the law and life, and hitting rock bottom, drugs in the equine. Fuck Dick and Bert! Fuck Dick and Bert! Fuck Dick and Bert!
Fuck Dick and Bert!
Fuck!
Hello and welcome to this little thing we call Minnesota Foul Play-by-Play. I'm your host, Anthony Variano. I'm joined by the brothers Hawes, as usual, Michael and Bradley. Boys, how we doing?
Good.
Oh, just fucking happy to have one of my idols on the show, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, we're joined by the maker of our theme music, formerly of the Lone Boners, currently of the Callers, and a little project called Nova. You can find his stuff on Spotify. It's Tyler Culver. Thank you for joining us, Tyler.
Hey,
wearing up, a throwback dude? Puckett uniform. I like it.
Hey,
beautiful.
Nice.
You sent it to me. Gracious guy, you know, gave me a Puckett
gracious
jersey.
Guy. You know, I got a replacement from China coming for that one, actually.
There you go.
It already got shipped, by the way, Mike. So
they can't trade Puckett.
No.
You'll be good with that forever.
It's the only one in my closet with a name on it that actually ended up a twin. Lived and died a twin. Mike's trying to lose some weight, so he's got himself in clothes that he wore 16 years ago today.
Hey, that's a beautiful collar shirt back in the day from the old hooligans back.
Autos from fucking Culver and Ecker.
Autographs. Oh. I mean, you don't throw something like that out.
I put it on eBay and nobody can buy it.
Okay. We're doing this show to talk about Twins Fest because I went to my first Twins Fest. Have any of you ever gone to Twins Fest before? Okay, so I'll tell the whole story, but first we got to talk about the Minnesota Wild, who are basically undefeated. Well, they are undefeated on Hockey Day Minnesota, according to Anthony LaPanta, 13-0. They won an overtime or in a shootout last night, and they've won their last three Hockey Day Minnesota games in a shootout or in overtime. And the surprising thing to me was how easy they made the shootout look. I mean,
Kaprizov was crazy.
Right off the butt of the goalie off the top bar. Yeah.
Dude.
Matt Zuccarello scored maybe the easiest shootout goal I've ever seen. I mean, he just faked that goalie right out of his skates. And then Goudreau with the final one. I mean, and then Fleury just has to make one save in his game. Your thoughts on the Wild? They're 1 point ahead of Colorado for the third seed in the division, and they got to stay there because the wild card is way too competitive. They're 5 points behind Winnipeg, though, with three games in hand. So, I mean, they're not out of the second spot either.
No, the wild card's tough. I mean, I don't want to see him play there at all. I mean, they just got to keep grinding, man. Like,
get a point in every game, like you say, and you're in the playoffs, right, Brad?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's frustrating. Like, I don't just – they just frustrate me. I bet on them too much, and they don't fucking
– You take them to win by two too often is what your problem is.
No, I just take them to win in fucking – regular time and they go to overtime, so it's like a catch 22, man. It's they win but I lose.
Love that book.
Culver, have you been keeping track of the Wild this year?
No, I need to get into hockey. That's
you should,
one thing that I haven't yet.
That's the team to watch in this town. Well, in the Twin Cities, they're a lot of fun.
A beautiful sport. I just gotta get into it.
It is the beautiful sport. Soccer can, as Brad says, eat a dick.
Oh, whoa. We got a lot of viewers in fucking Europe and South America, so I hope.
Out of the dozen, I'm sure at least two of them might be from somewhere besides the United States or Canada. Yeah.
No, and how about fucking fight night against the Flyers? That was fun.
Oh, that was fun, too.
But...
Yeah, there were fights. There were six men in the sin bin simultaneously in that game. That was awesome.
No, that was fucking amazing. I was just boom, boom, boom.
Sitting shoulder to shoulder in there. No room for anybody else.
Hockey this year is crazy because, like, yesterday I had a bet slip with three games on it. Watching one of the games, I believe it was Pittsburgh, whoever the hell they played, up and down the ice in the first 6 minutes, I believe they had like 10 shots on goal each team. Yeah. Then you flip the channel over to like the Ottawa Senators and the Montreal Canadiens. They had like 3 shots on goal the whole first period. Right. Like, they're... it's just each game is completely different.
Well, that's why it's playing so completely different styles of hockey too. It's, you know, if you've got the pieces to play a fast offensive game, you will have a lot of shots on goal in a short amount of time. But if you're not any good, you got to slow the game down, you know, get the puck into the corners and be physical with guys. And we can play both ways. Like, we've got lines that play physical, the Grief line with Erickson, Eck, Reeves. Holy cow, I just found out that Reeves has taken one penalty since he was traded over, which is just shocking to me. One minor penalty. Of course, he's got a couple for fighting, which, yeah, you know, it doesn't count.
He was part of out fucking against the Flyers.
Yeah, that was a good fight. Anywho, shall we move on to Twins Fest? The yard the yard sale with Twins is what it is. I mean, you show up and everything's 75% off, or they're trying to give it away, and it's like a big mall, basically, in the guts of Target Field. And
so is it just basically shit that's left over from the Twins themselves, or
giveaways? Like, this was a giveaway that they had extras of. This Prince jacket was a giveaway that they had extras of, which I don't understand. Like, this is, I got this for $10. It's amazing.
I didn't even realize that. I thought it was Prius.
Oh yeah, here, let me turn it around.
Way cooler.
Prius, yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, I picked up way too much crap. I spent way too much money.
If I could lose some weight, I want to buy that fucking Prince jacket from you.
Okay, you got it. $20. That's $20. Double up on it. My biggest win, though, while I was there, was that. And I've got a whole story of why that is the best thing I got. If you are just listening to us, it's a picture of Tom Kelly managing the 1988 All-Star Game with an intensity that only Tom Kelly could manage the 1988 All-Star Game. The intensity in his eyes are just like, it looks like he's managing the World Series. And that's what I miss about baseball in general, is just...
Well, you know, Rocco just sits there generally most of the time.
Even in the Gardenhire era, we had a guy who was, you know, on pace to set the record for ejections in Major League Baseball history, and that was always fun to watch.
I do miss.
Yeah, I miss his red face.
I thought you were talking about that Vikings pennant back there. That thing's pretty sweet.
But yeah, that was $50, listed as $100, and it came framed, so that was a pretty good
deal.
That's
a cool pick.
But here, let's show the people what we were really there for.
He's going to come back naked, guarantee it.
I hope so.
So yep. I was the envy of every person who got autographs in that line. 300 people in line, and everybody saw when I pulled this out of my bag. It's T.I.'s King record signed by Joe Mauer with his walk-up music that he used for, well, all of his Target Field career, I'm pretty sure, what you know. And is that so... I've been wanting to get this signed by him basically since I bought the record, and it was so funny. Like, I went upstairs to where the vendors were sitting and selling stuff, found Kirby Puckett's book, and bought the last copy they had for $5. And they were selling like paint pens up there, and I was like, well, this is genius, guys. And I was like, yeah, we wish we had more of them. And I asked them, I was like, well, what do you think you would work well on this? And I showed them the record, and their eyes were just like, God, I can't believe I never thought of that. Just like, wow, you guys are idiots. Like, how do you not think of this?
Is Kirby Puckett's book in Braille?
Still too soon, Brad. Way too soon. Jesus Christ, man. No, there's words. Yes.
Basically.
Yeah, now you'd think you'd know. I don't think it works for.
That's mean. That is.
Yeah.
He's my favorite player. I'm sorry.
Why are you making fun of all of our favorite player? I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we all love Puckett more than anyone, and have a hard time believing that he would treat a woman badly in the restroom.
I saw cross, man.
Oh God. Okay, well, so this has gotten off the rails just a bit. I saw more goddamn celebrities, and I was shoulder to shoulder with Jorge Polanco. I was standing in line for Joe Mauer's autograph. I high-fived Tony Oliva while he was driving by on a golf cart. Matt Wallner, Louis Varland, Bailey Ober, they all passed by me. Pretty sure Pablo Lopez was in the area because somebody welcomed somebody to Minnesota, and I imagine it had to have been Pablo.
How big's Wallner in real life?
They're all big. They're all much bigger than you'd think they are. Like, they tower above you. Jorge's actually about, like, regular person size, you know. I was looking, you know, right at his very wide eyes. So, yeah, he's not much taller than me, probably a couple inches taller than me. But there's just something special about the moment. Like, I spent probably $200 while I was at Twins Fest yesterday, and it was all worth it. In the 30 seconds that I was at that table with Joe Mauer and saw his face when he got to sign this, and I felt like he remembered the last time I presented it to him at Dick's Sporting Goods, Dick's House of Sport. And yeah, it was just, that's what I live for, is like, that's why you throw flowers at Marc-Andre Fleury during his debut, is just the look on his face. That's
no,
that's
Tony, you're that's completely right. It would, back in like early 2000s when I went to a Vikings game, I was wearing my 1984 National Championship Bobcat shirt. Yeah. And Joey Thomas, cornerback who played for MSU, I stood by the tunnel waiting for him to walk out, and I was like, as soon as I saw him coming out, I was like, Joey, fuck the Grizz. And he looks up, gives me a high five and shit. Like, it's little shit like that there's no video of it, there's no pictures, but it's just shit like that you remember.
Yeah,
with these professional players, that's cool. So like that, I bet Joe was just like, dude, this guy's kind of pretty freaking cool, man.
Oh, next year I'm going back and I'm bringing the single. I already have it ordered. I got it on Discogs yesterday for $16. So next, I'll be a regular Twins Fest now. I'll get at least one autograph. Like,
you know,
they're expensive though. Like $40 to stand in line to get an autograph is a lot of money, but
it is kind of bullshit. Like, I think on that to pay that type of money, but I think it would be fun. I honestly do. I wish it was sometime other than, you know, the end of January where it's right. Colder than shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but, what else are you going to do it? It's supposed to get fair. People, you know, worked up and buy season tickets to the Twins. That's the whole idea. Well, and it, buy all the merchandise they want to get rid of. You notice everything that was like Minnie and Polly, the old sign that they're having revamped, was on sale for 75% off. So like all that gear was just going out the door because they plan on, you know, filling up the shop with new stuff.
I think that should be a bucket list for everybody. I think that seems fun. I mean,
yeah, it was all right. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I did. Let's just say that. But with that, we're here with Tyler to talk about walk-up songs. And this is probably going to be my favorite segment ever. So we all have a list of our favorite, I think, Twins players that walk-up songs, right? And then some songs that we'd like to see used as walk-up music in Major League Baseball. So, Tyler, with that said, why don't you take us away?
Well, I mean, we all have our issues with the old Catman, right? But London Calling.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to put that on my list too, but that's a pretty good one.
I'm glad you threw it to me first, because it doesn't get better than that, right?
It does. It really does.
You know, I don't know any of those other songs of Bunny Baby. Bunny
oh,
boy.
The new ones, yeah.
Boy,
sure.
Baby.
Or the ones in Spanish.
They're all baby something.
Yeah.
No, I think that's pretty legit. He's a German guy, too. Like, I mean, I'm not sure if he grew up in Germany, or he's just like, you know, my grandma makes sausage and sauerkraut type of German.
I'm sure London Calling was huge in Berlin when he was a kid. But, I mean, I'm sure it's just something his parents listen to that he enjoys. The same reason why I listen to a lot of the crap my dad listens to, you know?
Yeah. So that would get me amped. I know that much. It's not, you know, one of them fire songs that you go up and you're just dancing and everyone's.
Oh, I've got one for
but
you.
But the few.
I'll give you my favorite of all time is Mitch Garver's use of Shining Star by Earth, Wind, and Fire. No song has ever made me want to dance more. And every time that song came on and he came to the plate, I was doing my little dance like I do in our TikTok profile video.
Is that what was playing?
Score. Yeah.
Is that what's playing during the playoff game?
No. I'm pretty sure it's New Shoes was playing in the playoff game in which we didn't score.
You got to mix up your dances then, man. You need a dance for each
Oh, the mashed song. Potato is my go-to, though. Like
the mashed potato.
I do disco when Mitch used to come out, you know, did pull out the old Saturday Night Fever. But Mike, give us one off your list of your favorite Twins walk-up music songs.
Well, Culver took my number one.
Yeah. That's your number one? Really? God, I've got five of them better than that.
Love the Clash. So I like that a player is going to pay homage to one of the best bands of all time. I guess I would throw it back to my garbage music I used to listen to in high school. Josh Winders came out to Please Take Me Home by Blink-182.
That's a good one.
So that would be back when Blink made decent music.
Are you seeing them this year? Because I'm seeing them twice.
I was thinking about it, and then their new single just fucking sucks.
I heard, it wasn't good.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to waste the money seeing them. We'll see.
I bought the ticket to go see Turnstile. I'm not really going for Blink. I'm going to see the opening act.
Fair enough.
Brad, give us one off your list of top walk-up songs.
To tell you the truth, I couldn't name one.
What? I thought you prepared for this segment.
Who used to, Tony, but when we used to,
I'll tell you one I would like to see, though.
Okay.
Carlos Correa, you know, he's got me dreaming of, you know, hoisting that trophy up. So maybe you make my dreams by Hall & Oates or something when he comes up there. Like, hell yeah.
Oh, my
like,
God. Yes, that would be great.
That. I'm surprised with the older brother on that one.
Right. I am too.
You know, I'm just not prepared. It's too early on a Sunday morning. Like I'm trying to come up with a did you know right now.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll let you get to work on the did you know, our favorite segment.
Hey, I got a did you know for you.
Oh,
I love it.
Culver's got it. Did you know? Give it to us, Culver.
You want it now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we're going Vikings trivia here.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. And unfortunately, this means that, you know, Justin Jefferson has to retire because it's just too good. He's got to stop. These numbers can't change. It's unfortunate for us, but here we go.
Right.
How many first downs do you think Justin Jefferson has on first down? First down catches on first down. Yep.
69.
69. Just how many on second down?
It's 69?
69. How many on third down?
No 69.
69.
You're kidding.
I'm serious.
That cannot be true.
That's real.
What's your source?
I believe it, and that's my source.
He's like me. These numbers just come from your head, man. You just know this.
Oh, so we've been doing trivia wrong my whole life? It's just as long as you believe it to be true, it's true?
Yeah. I knew those answers.
That's 2023.
Yep, see? My source is Brad knows it too. So
is the football gods.
Yep.
Hey, I got it. Did you know? Did you know Byron Buxton stopped using Mark Morrison's Return of the Mac last year? And can anyone tell me why he would do something so silly?
Getting him hurt.
Well, bad luck, I suppose. Yeah.
So what's his new song, Ben?
I have no idea. It's not something that I'm familiar with.
Follow the list, Tony, and it's the new songs on the drive.
Oh, yeah. Because he should be using Walking on Broken Glass by Annie Lennox. That's the joke that we did in the last episode that busted me up. Oh, my God.
Well, nice teaser, bud.
Yeah. That was the dynamite drop-in by Brad right there.
Hey, you know, it would be funny. I mean.
Oh, it would be hilarious.
They should have more fun with that shit. Because, God, you imagine having that son of a bitch for a full year? Like,
81 games? Yeah. Woo. I mean, I'm sure you can trade. No, I bet you don't change it midseason unless it's like, I mean, if you're in a 1-for-50 slump, I'm sure they'll do anything they can to get you a hit.
So then I wrote some more notes down on the Google Drive earlier this morning. So when he does indeed get injured this year and then comes back, like his first plate appearance has to be by Beyonce, Irreplaceable.
Like a song I've never heard, but it is. It suits him.
So should we go through the ones that we want to see?
Sure. I could give you a bunch. I want to see Jorge Polanco walk out to Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen, because I call him Ojos Abiertos because he's got the widest eyes I've ever seen. Who else?
Hungry.
Well, Joey Gallo walks out to Travis Tritt's Bible Belt for My Cousin Vinny, because, you know, Joey Gallo, Jerry Gallo.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
I know you'd agree with me here, Tony, that someone's got to use New Noise, but they refused.
Elektra would be another one. I feel like Elektra sounds like it would be the soundtrack, perfect soundtrack for re-entering the atmosphere. That's how I describe that song.
No, that's New Noise was on my list as well. I think Duran, when he comes out to close a game,
that would be
shit.
Yeah, yeah. That would be.
I was thinking Duran Duran's Rio for Duran.
It's just one of those fucking songs where freaking it's enough for them to or for him to walk out from center field just that
right,
and then fucking just everybody goes wild, and then we start thinking of fucking Varsity Blues.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's fun with that.
How about Ryan Jeffers or any reliever walks out to Jane by Jefferson Starship, Orange Cassidy's walk up music. I like that song a lot.
Yeah.
I think it should be a reliever because you have to, if you play it from the beginning, it takes a while to get into. None of you guys are, even Tyler, you're not pro wrestling. It's the rest of mine are all pro wrestling songs, except for the next Amos or Moses to MLB to walk out to Jerry Reed's Amos Moses, because it's about a father using his son as alligator bait, and it's just a great story. And a great song. Any others you guys want to see?
Yeah, mine would be Carlos Correa's walk up. I'd want the Cure's Just Like Heaven, because it feels like heaven that we got him now.
Yeah.
Buxton. I mean, somebody's got to have Prince. So I'd have Buxton come out to Little Red Corvette. And then Duran, if he's not getting New Noise, fucking Wilson Phillips, hold on for one more day.
I would love to hear that played at a baseball game just in general. That would definitely get me out of my seat and singing. Absolutely.
Everybody, it would. Everybody.
I think just about everyone knows every word to that song.
No, that'd be awesome for the Twins to make that our, what do they play at the Red Sox game? That fucking, he sings that America song. We're coming to America, but it's a different song.
They play Neil Diamond.
Song.
That song.
Minnesota make Wilson Phillips that song for
That's
Minnesota.
The thing, though, is like they play enough Prince at every game in Minnesota. Way too much, frankly.
Oh, Christ, first bucket, now Prince. Goddamn, Minnesota idols, you guys just spitting on their graves.
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, if you lived here, you would understand that you hear him. I would listen to the radio for 3 minutes the other day, and I heard a Prince song. Like, that's how it works.
We're winding this back. This is like the Flyers game. I'm taking my fucking gloves off. Prince fucking out pops fucking Mariah Carey every day of the week.
I cannot agree with that. It's not in my being. It's my soul disagrees with that wholeheartedly.
Just true. Simply true.
It's just true. Yeah.
No. No.
They only unfreeze her for like 3 months out of the year. Come on.
Tyler, what are you working on right now in terms of musical excellence?
Oh, I don't know. I got a few things in the fire. We got the old drummer's finally moving, so we're gonna squeeze some old boner jams in.
Oh, nice. You're re-recording a bunch of songs, right?
Some of the old caller stuff that's like 15, 20 years old.
And yeah, but we all love it.
Sounds
love
like
it enough
garbage.
To hold on to a t-shirt for 16 years that right. No longer fits.
Hey, apparently. That'll sound much better. And then we had another five song of the new stuff that we never finished, so we'll be doing all that too. So
cool.
Have some new tunes for them, and then the Nova band, that's just basically my make money band. That's you go to private parties and bars and shit and actually like make money for the first time in my musical career. It's It's pretty insane. I didn't know it was cool. Possible.
Really?
I thought you just bought gear and that's it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I paid money for this shirt, Culver. That went right.
Yeah, where did that money go?
Beer, probably. I don't know.
Yeah. How hard is it to be in a band with kids, especially young kids?
Well, you know, my wife, she's in bands too, so right. we make it work, and you get this weekend, I get that weekend, you get this holiday, I get that one. It's tough. It's tough, but you know,
I don't suppose you jam
through because we ain't quitting.
Yeah, so. I don't suppose you jam at your house ever. You got to go somewhere
Not
else.
Yet.
Yeah,
but I'm going to. That's why we bought this new house. We got a big ass jam room.
Nice.
So we'll set up the area, and that'll be sweet.
So Culver, since you're on the call, I had heard a rumor back in the day when the Callers put out my favorite record. That was back when George Bush was in office.
Oh yeah,
W. Bush.
The good days.
That album was awesome. I'd heard a rumor you guys actually got an offer from like to go on tour, like in California, like on one of these punk fests, and you guys turned that down.
Well, there was a New York tour, two New York along the way shows, and before I was in the band, they did, which we were probably talking about. They went to L.A. and recorded a music video for whatever the hell it was. I forget the song. Anyway, so that's out there. So while they were out there, they made some contacts, and they did get offers at that time. And I don't know, it wasn't like a record deal or nothing, but it's just like, hey, come on, get on the circuit, get you back down here. But you know, North Dakota bands, it's like just dead zone. I mean, you got Minneapolis and stuff over there. I got to go to either Minneapolis or Billings, Bozeman. That's as close as it gets. And then to get to the major markets, that's across the entire country. So,
right.
You know, you got to be really making plans and get it together.
Well, the Lone Boners were named like the weren't you associated with the state of North Dakota or the area, territory of Montana?
Watch this. Okay, we got it bumped up. You see that?
Kerrang,
it's a European magazine. So we got the Boners in North Dakota. And then we got Against Me down here. We got Dead Kennedys, Cobra Skulls, like all these major, major bands. And
isn't it super cool that how a band you were in on the same, just an,
it's
like,
insane
named with them?
I don't even know how they found it.
I mean, they had to find somebody from the Dakota/Montana, right?
Yeah, absolutely. With minimal social media presence, as little as it gets. I don't think we had our shit on Spotify at the time. So it was just our band camp.
Three Done Got Lost is still one of my favorite records.
Well, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
It plays at hockey games that I do all the time. In Minneapolis, you'll hear it.
That's killer. I think really all they wanted to do is in the write-up, say there's a band called the Lone Boners. Dickinson, North
Great
Dakota.
Name.
Like
that's why you're
Lone Boners from Dickinson. They're just I gotta make it's like on a silver platter for me right here. I gotta write this up. Right. So we'll take the freebie there. But that was pretty cool.
I can't believe there's not like a huge punk scene in.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot weird. Of the bands are either metal or punk.
Metal. Yeah, that's what
if
I
they're doing originals. Because, you know, to do the pop stuff, all it is really anymore is a bunch of synths and samples and
cover
stuff like that.
So,
you're actually going to play a guitar and some drums. Yeah. It's going to be a rock band of some sort.
Yeah.
So there are a bunch and there are good ones. I'm not saying there aren't, but there's no scene. There's nowhere to play it except for bars is the problem. No one's got the money to set up a venue. So
shit, that was a problem. 20, 30 years ago. Basically, the entire history of punk has had a problem finding a place to play.
Yeah. You got to have some guy willing to just lose money and not make it.
Or destroy a church. Destroy a church basement.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So it's tough to get it going, but it is cool.
It's cool that you're actually making money now, like, yeah, turn a profit as a band. I mean, I've run a business and been able to turn a profit. Like they say, it's really easy to run a business at, you know, a loss, but running one at a profit is really hard. And so it takes a long time to figure out how to do that.
The best part about it is I can write off my gear now because I actually make income when I gotta do my taxes. They're gonna make me claim that shit.
Are you incorporated now as a band? Is like, how does that work?
No, but you know, the wife's got a business and we have an accountant now, so.
Wow.
I'm an adult, you know.
Holy cow. I'm still doing my taxes on Credit Karma, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, honestly, it's not great. He doesn't do what we want him to, but whatever.
I'm going to write off my courtside links tickets for the marketing expense.
Yeah, you
should. TikTok for Felt Play by Play, but that's the thing. We have to incorporate and we don't have any revenue. It doesn't really make any sense to incorporate.
Where's the Patreon?
Yeah.
We're a non-profit LLC, man.
Well, yeah, that was the idea. Literally. Was to start this up as like a means to educate students on how to do play-by-play, and that way you could actually use the clips from the game, the names of the players, what's happening live, without getting a cease and desist letter from the leagues. And that was really the only way around it, unless Mike wanted to take Major League Baseball to the Supreme Court, which is what I wanted to do.
Exactly what a public defender should do.
Everybody's got to have their moment, Mike.
That's right, my fucking wheelhouse.
Right. Well, we started an argument. I thought we had a pretty good one, too. Like, we were doing something that was, you know, entirely new based on material that was available to us. Like, that's just creating art from existing materials. So as long as it's something different and a court believes it to be something different, you can get away with it. But
at the end of the fucking day, we had to, I don't care how shitty we are, we had to have sounded better than fucking Dick and Bird.
Like, those guys are. I could not watch the game anymore because of how bad that commentary was. And that's the thing. It's like, I'm so glad I didn't wear my fuck Dick and Bird hat yesterday because I did run into Bert Blyleven.
You should have. It would have been epic.
It was too damn cold. It was negative 10. It felt like negative 10 out yesterday.
Should have had him auto that shit. That would have been fucking hilarious.
I actually thought about bringing it because I thought I might run into him, but I swear to God, he's going to see the logo and he'll be like, I'm not signing this. What are you, nuts? How'd you guys like the TikTok I made with the accordion music, the goddamn waltz, the Dutch music? It was pretty sick.
It was
right?
Good. Yeah. It was good.
I thought it was funny. If only we had some like an emoji of wooden shoes, that would have been perfect.
I'm sure you can find that shit, man.
I don't know anybody who's spoken more about wooden shoes on a baseball broadcast than Bert Blyleven. He definitely holds the mantle there.
Oh, well, and to have two guys, a guy that played for your team and not to fucking root for him, he sucks off more fucking other players on other teams than he does about our team. Like, it's just, it's miserable to listen to. The guy's an idiot.
It just needs the whole game needs a youthful injection of like the Chicago's got it right with the broadcast team they have. And
those guys are awesome.
Right. And they actually use like OPS instead of batting average, and they'll put it up on the screen because it's, you know, batting average don't mean anything anymore.
How about the Braves are putting out a contest for their fans. They're
sending that idea too.
Yeah.
And actually, I think they did that in hockey. I want to say the Flyers did that recently. Open it up.
What's the contest?
Fan submissions, fan auditions for
trying to get in.
Public address announcing.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
I mean, I've seen TikTok videos of kids who are actually really good at it and are probably better than the people who are doing it now. But, you know, once you get in that position, you're there for 30 years until you really make a bad mistake of leaving the mic on and saying a racial or gay slur, you know. And it's a lot harder to do as a public address announcer than it is as a play-by-play announcer.
So, like, in football, though, is it all a computer voice? Because everybody inside of every stadium sounds exactly the fucking same. The public address announcer. Like, they all sound...
I think it's just ultimate flattery. Everybody's trying to mimic somebody else.
Okay.
So, like, I try and mimic of few people. I mean, my hockey goal call is based on the Wild hockey PA announcer. And then obviously I take a lot from Justin Roberts from All Elite Wrestling. And then the guy who does UFC, Buffer, the other Buffer, I try to emulate his energy because I don't think anybody is more excited about what he does than that guy. And I think he just has to because of Bruce. Like, Bruce is so big that he has to do something to even compare to how big his brother is. 230 left. Right.
And he gets paid a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's doing just fine.
So I did something which I found was crazy that they didn't change the lines yet. Win total over and under, over under for the Minnesota Twins, 78.5.
That's it?
Yeah.
Shit. Mike's got us at 130 wins, so I'm taking the over for sure.
No, so that's what I did. I put 100 on it that they're going to win the division and go over.
Oh, yeah.
I like those bets.
It has went up now to 84.5.
It's all the way up to 84.5 now.
Yeah.
That still seems I thought with move to get Correa, that pushed us up to like 87, 88. But...
And then Pablo has got to be close to 90, I'd imagine. But
that's what I would add, 4 or 5 wins, but...
They're just assuming that Byron Buxton is not going to play an entire season, and he's the majority of our wins above replacement. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Even with those signings, we're still projected to finish third in the Central, which I thought was weird.
Behind too. Chicago and Cleveland?
Yep. Cleveland's favored to win it on that's my place where I go.
They're going to lose Clevenger for the entire year.
I agree.
Or Chicago I mean.
I could see Cleveland being up to the White Sox, though. What the hell have they done this offseason to make them? I guess they got rid of their manager.
Yeah. That could do it. That could be enough.
They were pretty hyped up last year, and it didn't really pan out for them. But I think they got a ton of young studs.
They do. And that guy, Tim Anderson, who won me that bet against you.
Yeah, I still got to pay that out.
He's the only guy in the last 4 seasons that hit over 300.
Yeah, it's insane.
What'd you say he was going to hit, Culver? 250?
No. Come on now. Just not 300. They got to bring that Mendoza line down. That is not the line anymore. Nobody does that.
You can
anymore.
Get by hitting like 175 and stick around in the majors if you're hitting 30 homers a year.
Well, yeah, shit. Arise won the batting title at what, 314?
Yeah.
318, I think.
318. Yeah, it was the 8th best all-time batting average amongst the Twins.
Which is, I mean, that's crazy. Like, to think.
Yeah. Well, that's the nature of the game now. All right, boys. We only got about a couple seconds left, so I got to do my closing. It was nice to see your face, Tyler Culver, and it's always
thanks
nice to see
having
you,
me
Bradley,
on, boys.
Michael. See you next time on Minnesota Foul Play-by-Play. We'll be talking about our fantasy baseball league.
Bye-bye.